Well, we're going back to that passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And our text today is in verse 5. Verse 5 of this passage, where the Apostle Paul says to the young pastor Timothy, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." And you can determine here right away that these are dying words to the young Timothy. And I think we all understand that someone's final words to us, well, they carry a lot of weight, and they ought to be taken heed to. There were no half measures with Paul. Either you're going to be out and out in the ministry, make full proof of it, or you're not going to be in it at all. And there are no half measures with the Lord Jesus either. He said that he that is not with me is against me. And no gospel preacher can be satisfied with doing half his work. And every one of us will give account one day to God for the message and the ministry that God has given to us. And today I want to speak to you about evangelism. Paul said to Timothy here, do the work of an evangelist. Are you doing this? Am I doing this? Am I being effective as a preacher doing the work of evangelism? We can be busy about many things. We can seek to be very organized and disciplined in various areas of God's work. But this is one department that is singled out in this text, and it deserves special attention. We have, of course, found the answer to the questions of sin, of eternity, of standing before God with a perfect righteousness. And the word evangelist means the bringer of a good news. We are bearing good news to those who do not know. And this is something that sometimes we forget, that those all around us drive up and down our roads and streets, and we may say hi to them, and they're out on their walks, people that we're familiar even with their faces, if not with their lives. But we forget that they are lost, that if they die today, they're lost. And we have this good news. We have this deposit of the gospel, and we're called to share it with men. Now, in the New Testament, evangelists were a vital part of church life. They took the message beyond the church door or the little group setting. They didn't always have particular church buildings. Sometimes churches met in homes and in various other facilities. But they took, evangelists took the message beyond the group of Christians. In Ephesians 4, where you find that God has promised that he will give messengers, preachers, apostles, pastors, evangelists are added to that list. And so there is a specific work that is to be done by the evangelist. Philip was an evangelist. If you read Acts chapter 8, he was called an evangelist. And he was out ministering in the area of Samaria. And there's a particular event where he was sent to the Ethiopian, sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah 53. And God spoke to Philip, go down to that area, and there speak to one whom you will meet. And that day the Ethiopian was gloriously converted through the evangelistic work of Philip. So if you ever find someone sitting somewhere reading Isaiah 53, make sure you speak to them. There's your golden opportunity. And of course he went to him and asked, "What understandest what thou readest?" Now sometimes this is called personal work. Sometimes it's called sharing or testifying. But it's work. No matter what you call it, it's work. It's not going to happen unless we energetically and specifically set ourselves to do this ministry. Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. And it is work that must be our business with a sense of purpose. And I'm not going to tirade you with, you know, the gimmicks and the play game that some people call evangelism. But are we doing anything that we could call our evangelism? Our bringing the good news to a lost world? That's the burden of my heart today. And in God's dealing with me, brought me to this responsibility. It's my responsibility. And I want you, firstly, to be praying that God will make me an evangelist. And I will have, in this church, on radio, and wherever opportunity allows, an evangelistic ministry, a burden for the lost, and a message that God the Holy Spirit may use to the hearts of men. But I also want to call you to consider this work of evangelism, of having a ministry of your own. No, not just your own, but joining in the corporate work of the church and getting involved in reaching men with the gospel by doing your part. Now, to do this work, we need four things. And I think you'll see them in the life of Timothy. The first thing, we need a personal testimony. We need a realistic opportunity. We need a sense of responsibility. And we need a God-given ability. And for those that got their pens out, I'll just go over those again. A personal testimony, a realistic opportunity, a sense of responsibility, and a God-given ability. And so that's going to be the framework of our message here today, and I want you to follow along as we come now, firstly, to this personal testimony. We need a testimony of what the gospel has done for our own souls. Pity the person who goes out in the work of evangelism and they cannot share what the Lord has done for their own hearts. We need to be impressed with the very pit from which God has dug us, from that awful life of sin that we have been delivered. And it is out of a sense of our own debt to grace that we are moved to take this message of the gospel. We are also to have a personal testimony of what we think of Christ, our views of him, our love for him, our loyalty for him will all determine an impact upon us as we go about this work of evangelism. We need to, of course, have some knowledge of the deity, the Trinity, and the personal equality of the Lord Jesus with God himself. And unless we know these things and are convinced of these things, then we will be very poor representatives and evangelists of this gospel. Also, we need a testimony of how the Lord has changed our own hearts by his own Spirit. If you look back at chapter 1, verse 5 of this epistle, you'll see how Paul speaks of Timothy's faith. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Now, unfeigned means no pretense. It is a genuine faith, and that is in him. And of course, he was a child of a godly mother and grandmother, and he truly knew the Lord. That was the testimony of this young Timothy. And by this, we let our light shine before men. And the first thing that we need as we're going to do the work of evangelism is a personal testimony. I have trusted in the Lord. He has saved me. I know I have eternal life. I have the answer to the greatest questions concerning life, death, and eternity. And it is this gospel of the Lord Jesus that has done wonders in my own life that I want to take to the world. There's another thing that was emphasized in Timothy's life, and that was he was to preach the gospel that was according to godliness. And, of course, godliness is a part of our testimony. And we need to have a changed life. If you're still doing the old things and you're going back to the old haunts of sin and you're living in the quagmire of iniquity, then you could never do the work of an evangelist. But if your life has been cleaned up, it has been brought into a new condition, that you're a new creature in Christ, old things have passed away, all things have become new, then you can be an evangelist. You can bring this good news to the world. And so we have to ask, are you saved? Are you sure of it? And does it show in your life? And others will know that we have been with Jesus. So that's our personal testimony. Then also we need a realistic opportunity. If you go back to 2 Timothy 4:3, you will see that opportunities are not always fully open. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And so you can see that it wasn't going to be very easy for Timothy to do the work of an evangelist with people who were interested in foolish things, fables, and doctrines that were unsound. Nevertheless, but watch thou in all things. In other words, seek an opportunity. Be on your guard. And don't fall into those errors and notions that carry men away. And there will be opposition. There will be opposition. And this opposition will come from various quarters. We could say today that the last and most unlikely place that a missionary could go today would be North Korea. And last Sunday I learned that there was an execution of a whole group of Christians. I think they were in the number of 30-something. And the date was set and the execution was to take place against Christians that were discovered in North Korea. And it would be a place where we have to say at this moment, the door is closed. It would be impossible to get in there and to preach the gospel. But we do have opportunity. We live in a country where it is legal and it is permissible to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now you need some wisdom, you need some smarts of where to do it, when to do it, and what exactly to do and say. But by and large, we live in a country where we do have free speech. And we can take this gospel either to homes or to various groups or in some public places at least. And we're not in danger of being executed. There may be some people that will give us a hassle and say, we don't like this. But our lives would not be in danger. So we do have an opportunity. And there are people who will listen. There are people who have no idea of what the gospel is. And they will give you their ear at least for a few minutes. And also, Easter is an opportunity. And that's why I feel led to speak on this subject at this time. Because at this time of year, there are always opportunities to invite people along to Easter services and to even talk about these great traditions. Now, there are people and they give up things for Lent. And you get all kinds of people from all kinds of religious backgrounds and traditions, and they will talk about what they're giving up for Lent. So at least they have something, a little smidgen of a tradition about what leads up to Easter. Now, we don't preach and teach that people should give things up for Lent. Self-denial is not going to help us to preach the cross, but we want to get the message of the gospel out. And many people do go to church at the Easter season. And we want to seek every opportunity to take the gospel to men and women. Now, I have been preparing this little leaflet that I want you to use to invite friends, family, neighbors along to hear the gospel. And this leaflet says it's still true. And of course, it's the empty tomb. And inside we have a message, and on the back page we have some church information. And I would like you to take a bunch of these. Everybody could at least take 10. And use the opportunity of the season to go forth and minister the gospel. Now, whether you drop them off, even mail them, or whether you go to door and ask a person to talk about it, I leave that up to you and how the Lord enables you. But we all have opportunity. We all have an open door that we may take the gospel. We also have a freedom, and we can use various means. We can use church literature, cards, personal invites, email, and we have all of these means by which we may take the gospel. Now, on Wednesday evening at our prayer meeting, I gave, and I wrote it on the board down in the prayer room, a definition of what is evangelism. And I thought that this was very helpful. It's by a man called Ernest Reisinger, and I just want to give it to you. That art to evangelize is to present Jesus Christ to sinful men in order that they may come to put their trust in God through him, that's through God's grace, to receive him, the Lord Jesus, as their Savior and serve him as their King in the fellowship of his church. Now, when you analyze that, you'll notice that our first goal is to reach sinful men, and they are all around us, and to lead them to a personal trust in the Lord Jesus, that they may serve him in the fellowship of his church. So we don't see evangelism as something that's divorced from the work of the church or separate from it. There are those ministries that are dedicated to certain types of evangelism, but every church, every Christian in the church has a call and a responsibility to minister the gospel to each and every one. Now, you know that great gospel commission, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you always. Well, that has been translated sometimes and commented on, that we are to go and make disciples. To teach is to make disciples. And so it's not just to go and extract a lip profession. Yes, I will be a Christian, sign a card, say a few words. But the goal of evangelism is to see people truly converted, ready to follow the Lord Jesus, to be his disciple, and to serve him in the fellowship of his church. And so it goes full circle. We here in the church, we pray, we organize ourselves, we produce whatever literature or helps that we help us do this. We go out to invite men and speak to men and talk to men about their souls. And then we say, it's God's will for you not only to profess Jesus as your Savior, but that you serve him in the fellowship of his church. And that becomes the opportunity that is laid out before us. Then I come to the sense of responsibility. Now, I take this from the statement, indeed it's a command to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Do. So it's our responsibility. And we're to do this, firstly, for the glory of God. That's the Great Commission, has God's glory in view. We're not doing it for the name of our church or our denomination, but our main purpose in reaching men with the gospel is the glory of God. The royal law teaches us that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and everything we do to the glory of God. And you think of the glory that can be brought to the name of the Lord Jesus if you were to have a part in leading one soul to the Lord Jesus, in going to their home working with them, talking with them, inviting them, bringing them along maybe in your car, and seeing them hear the gospel, and whether you have the joy of praying with them or I, or they do it alone, but the Lord gets the glory. And in the church, the Lord Jesus is exalted. We're also do this for the good of our fellow man. The second part of that royal law is to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And the greatest good that you can do to your fellow men is to give them the riches of the gospel. It'd be worth more than $1 million, worth more than all the temporal aid, help, encouragement that you can give to share with someone the way of salvation and the way of peace with God through the Lord Jesus. That is the greatest absolute good that you could do to your fellow man. And if we love our fellow men, then we will do this. And as we look at people, we've got to realize that everyone is a precious soul. A soul that is worth more than the whole world. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? One soul is worth more than the whole world. And the Lord Jesus elevated the dignity of each individual. He taught that parable of the lost coin, lost sheep, lost son. And he said that there is joy among the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Sometimes we think of evangelism as the great scale of the world or a nation or a city, and we think in terms of millions and thousands. But it could be one, just one soul. And there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. This elevates the worth, the dignity of every human being in this world. They may be down and out. They may be a wreck through the gutters of sin. They may be the last person you'd want to have in your company. But to the Lord, that person is a precious soul. And that person is going to live for all eternity in heaven or in hell. And so it becomes our responsibility. And it becomes the responsibility toward our church. If you love the church of the Lord Jesus, if you say that you want to glorify God in his church, then you will see that evangelism is a very vital part of that. Because the church needs to be built up numerically, as in every other way. And when you see the empty seats that we have in our church, when you see the multitudes that go by without the Lord, we have a responsibility to build up the church of the Lord Jesus and see added to it precious souls. Now, can you think of someone in your life, in your circle, that you could begin praying for, that you could begin witnessing to, that you could begin sharing the gospel with, and seek ultimately to bring them along to build up the church of the Lord Jesus? Now, this brings us to our last point today, and that is a God-given ability. Paul said to Timothy in this text, make full proof of thy ministry. Timothy was not his own man. He was given a ministry. And when God gives a ministry, he equips to do the work. And he challenges to give that work. And this was a work that only Timothy could do in that particular area in Ephesus. It was a work that he was charged with, and it was a very solemn responsibility. But not just to those already converted and already who were already believers, but to all men, that they may be brought this message of the Lord Jesus. He was given a ministry. Now, here in our church, we're given a ministry. And this is what we're responsible for. I will not give account for what the church down the road is doing. I will not give account for what the church and some other part of the world is doing, but I will give account to God for the ministry that God has given me and the work that He has given me where He has placed me. And I must do that work. There is no other way than serving the Lord according to that responsibility. Timothy also had learned of Paul. What a great mentor he had. What a great teacher he had. And as he went with Paul on some of his missionary journeys, evangelistic work to various places, he learned how to do it. He learned how to reach men. He saw how Paul went into the synagogues and went into every place where a door was open to him to share the message of the gospel. And so, having had that example, having been so well taught, he had a greater responsibility. He could never stand before God and say, well, I didn't know. I didn't know how to go about it. He was given a wonderful example. Now, we, later in the life of the church, have so many examples of how to do the work of evangelism. And, of course, there are many who have excelled, many churches that have been built up, many ministries that God has blessed, and we are given so many helps how to do the work of evangelism. And we've had mentors. We've had those who, even amongst us, have been soul winners, workers, and willing to give of themselves to this work. And we can learn from them. So we have an even greater responsibility. And you can say, well, I don't know how to go and give out literature and talk to people about their souls. Well, let me give you a suggestion. Let's do it as a group. Let's do it really in the biblical way of two by two. And you can go with a person who has done this before, who has learned a few just natural techniques of how to introduce the subject and talk to people about their soul, and you will be much less intimidated. So go along as a helper. Go along as one who will learn on the job. And by that way, we can get up to speed and learn how to share the gospel with men. But we do have a responsibility. And to say, well, I don't know how to do this. Well, you can't stand before God on the judgment day and say, I had no one to help me, no one to guide me. We all have those who will help. Now, another thing that Timothy had going for him was that he knew the scriptures. He knew the Bible very well. If you remember back in 1 Timothy 3:15, that he was taught by his mother and grandmother. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So we can certainly say that Timothy knew his Bible, and he certainly knew the Old Testament scriptures. There would have been the full 39 books of the Old Testament available to him. He was still early on in the New Testament, so there have been some of Paul's letters that he could draw from, and they would have been available to Timothy, but he knew the scriptures. And that's going to be your strongest asset when you go to talk to people about the Lord. You need to know your Bible. Now you say, well, that's too daunting for me because I'm young in the faith and I don't know too much. Well, every one of us have special verses that we ought to know. And we may not all memorize them, but we know how to find them in the Bible. And sometimes we can keep a little cheat sheet in the cover of our Bibles, 10 particular verses that are helpful when you're sharing the gospel with somebody. And by that way, we can learn and get used to sharing the gospel. But it's very important that we know our Bibles. And we don't need to know all the philosophies of the world and all the arguments of modern things. We just go with Bible in hand and, hey, would you read this? Would you just read this, what it says in the Bible? Because let me tell you, 99% of people have never read in the Bible. And many people who object to the Bible have never even read its pages. And when we go as witnesses and we open the Bible and say, look, would you just read what the Lord or Paul or Timothy or whoever has wrote in the Bible? And would you just take that to heart? Think about it. It's basically simple. I don't need to get into arguments of all the psychology and all the philosophies of the world. If we know the scriptures and we go with our Bible, that is our sword. And that sword is quick and powerful. And the Spirit of God uses his word. That's the miracle of salvation. We're all saved through the word. We are born again by the word of God. And as we take particular passages of the Bible that are relevant at that moment and share them, get people to read them and think about them, the Spirit of God can send his arrow, his spirit into their hearts and make that a living seed that they may be born again and brought to personal faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, Timothy, we know, was by nature a little bit timid. And in 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul said to him, "Let no man despise thy youth." And so there had been a considerable age gap between Paul and Timothy. Paul was somewhere in his mid-50s when he was writing this before his execution. Timothy, he might have been 20 years younger or even more. He was a young man in comparison to Paul. And no doubt, young men don't always have the same stature as men who are, well, not always taller, but if you have more gray hair, sometimes it helps, or at least that appearance. But when you're sharing the gospel, it doesn't make a button of difference. When you're sharing the message of God's word, your authority is not yourself. Your authority is not how old you are or experienced you are. Your authority is the Bible. And you share that word with full confidence. And you can stand over it. God says in his word. And just leave it there. And so whatever your timidity or reason for being timid, maybe you feel, well, I'm not long enough a Christian. I'm not, I haven't been in Sunday school very long. And I haven't been even in church life very long. Or maybe you say, I'm just a kid. I'm underage for this kind of work. No, there's nobody underage. This is a work that all can do, and we're to make full proof of our ministry. But also, and inevitably, Paul advised Timothy that he was to endure afflictions. And he said to him here in verse 5, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions." The person who doesn't make an enemy in preaching the gospel is not preaching the gospel. And that's the reality of the work we're about. There will be people who will give us the cold shoulder. There will be people who don't want to see us coming because we have a message that they don't want to hear. And that's because of the natural hostility of man in his heart against the things of God. Now, we can be, at the same time, winning. We can be gracious. We can be kind. And we need to be patient. And sometimes when you share the gospel at first, you can say, that didn't go well. But be patient. Endure afflictions. And say to the person, well, we'll leave it there for now, and in a week's time, maybe I'll come back and we'll talk again. And that way you can not create strong resentment and keep the door open. Always try to keep the door open for the next conversation, for the next opportunity when you come to preach and teach the message of the gospel. Now, I read a little story that was, I think, helpful to us. And this is by a man called John Vassar, a memoir of his life. And it's about an evangelist that was invited along to a very wealthy home. And he started talking to the lady of the home. And she is described in this story as a very uppish, proud type of lady. And this evangelist, he just launched into her. And he said, "You need to be saved. And you're under God's wrath. And you need to be born again. And without the new birth, no man will see the kingdom of God." And of course, this lady really resented the boldness of this evangelist in her own home. But he was very persuasive and kept on going. Now, afterwards, of course, she said to her husband about what this evangelist was doing. And he said to her, "Why didn't you tell him to mind his own business?" And her answer to her husband was, "Well, all the while it appeared to me that he was about his business." And our business is to reach men with the gospel. That's our business. Do the work of an evangelist. And that is our business. That's the work that we're in. I was called on by a family to visit a home. I'm planning to go this week. And this lady is facing some very serious health issues. And I said, "Well, I'm not a medical person. I can't help you in that area. But if I can share the gospel and bring you God's word, I will gladly do that." And so by that means, I've sort of set the agenda. And I've given the lady to read Romans chapter 5. And I'm planning to go along and read and talk about that passage of Scripture. And so we, our business, my business is not medical. I don't think you would want me to be doing surgery on you or any other kind of medical procedure either for that part. I'm not a medical person. Mind you, if I was a surgeon, my philosophy would be cut it out. That'd be my philosophy if I was a surgeon. That's the kind of approach I would normally. Well, if it's a problem, just cut it out. And I don't think you'd want me doing that. My business is an evangelist, to share the gospel. And I want that to be your business too. I want that to be your goal as you pray every day, "Lord, lead me to some soul." And you know, it's amazing how the Lord just brings people into our pathway and gives us an opportunity to speak to them about their soul. And then we should keep this kind of literature, gospel cards, church cards, and share the gospel. Do the work of an evangelist. And right now, this church, especially coming up to the Easter season, we need workers who will do the work of an evangelist. I'd like to invite you to join me and others on Saturday mornings between now and Easter to do this kind of work. And the plan would be to meet 9:30 here at our church, have a short prayer time, and then we'll choose an area and give out these leaflets. We'll do this for the few weeks that are leading up to Easter time. And we need men, women, boys, and girls to do this. Everyone can be helpers. And if you can get involved, we would certainly appreciate it very, very much. And so I leave this text with you. Do the work of an evangelist. And may the Lord make us faithful.